Hello, I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams, and this is episode 2 of the Big River Solutions podcast. Once again, we've assembled a team of experts to discuss some of the latest trends in retail, and our subject today is the shopper experience. How is the relationship between the stores and the customer changing? On our panel today, I'm joined by Christine Edwards, Neil Hutton, and Rebecca Ross, part of the Big River Solutions team.
Well, I think shopping habits have changed, and they are changing. We've also gone full circle in a way, in that 50, 60 years ago, we went to the butcher, the baker, the corner grocer for our various products, and now we're doing more of that now. We're going to more different shops and more specialist shops. And in the middle, there were the hypermarkets, and we absolutely fell in love with the hypermarkets 20 or 30 years ago. It was aspirational. It was, we thought we were getting a good deal, going to these great big warehouse stores to buy in bulk, do a very big trolley. But we've now fallen out of love with the hypermarkets, and I think we're now finding that we don't want to spend 3 or 4 hours in a big hypermarket. We want to spend, we haven't got time for that. We're not interested in that. We're not engaged in it. It's no longer exciting. And yes, it's gone full circle, and we're now spending more time, but doing fewer shops throughout the week.
And we're shopping more online as well, so we've got so much more technology at our fingertips to mean it keeps us out of the bigger shops. That the way that's progressed and the speed at which that's taken off has probably taken us all a bit by surprise.
But I think what's interesting about online is there are certain categories that over-index online. So typically the bulky products and the boring products that people don't want to spend time selecting. And then the smaller stores do well in the fresher products, the products that people want to select and choose themselves.
But as we have less time, or we're time poor, cash rich, I suppose, where we were versus 20, 30 years ago, it just means we've got more opportunity to shop in smaller shopping occasions and shorter, more functional trips to supermarkets or convenience stores. And that's where the bite-size shopping comes into it. The bigger shops have gone out of favour because it's too long and too consuming when we've got all these other pressures of the world that are new to us.
Yeah, and I think this whole convenience theme that we hear so much about, and we hear about discounters as well, and we've obviously talked about discounters previously. Discounters are really just part of the overall trend. People are of course buying in discounters because they offer better value or cheaper products, but I think it's part of the trend towards smaller stores, a smaller store format, a more convenient store format. I think if you ask a lot of people why they're shopping in Aldi and Lidl, it's because it's a quick and easy shop. They can whiz around, get what they want. They don't have to spend a lot of time choosing between brands and between different prices and different offers. It's easy, it's convenient.
And I know from personal experience that my choice of where I spend my pennies is actually, I want to choose the things that are most valuable, so specialty cheeses, specialty meats, and go to a specific outlet to choose that. And then I'm more than happy to compromise on where I'm buying the things that, frankly, brand doesn't matter. It's just a functional experience. So, hate to say it, but toilet roll or things like that.
I think we're all just becoming savvier shoppers. And now that we've got more tools available to work out what's savvy, we're just all a bit smarter.
Absolutely. And we've done some work recently in Holland where they are probably the most extreme savvy shoppers, and it's a real badge of honour that they use lots of leaflets. So the retailers send lots of leaflets out, and actually they get their leaflets when they come through their door. They look at the offers and then specifically choose which retailers they're going to based on those leaflets. And it is true that there are lots of bicycles in Holland. They're doing lots more small shops, but their ability and their preparedness to literally shop every day and to shop in a different place purely to get the offers is just phenomenal.
I wonder whether the recent spate of price matching and couponing at till to give you back the discount of what you might have saved by shopping elsewhere has really helped, and whether people really believe that if they get a voucher at the end of the till for 20p off their next shop, whether that really does mean they've saved the most money or not.
And I guess more fundamentally from a retailer's perspective, just how many of those coupons make it back to store next time?
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to know what percentage was actually used.
But I think technology's been the most interesting thing. You just look at our ability to access, one, information about the products that we're buying, and then two, I'm a keen certain online shopper, which has literally just gone into grocery, and I love that whole concept of if you like this or if you've bought this, you're going to like something else. Social media and influencing, and I think we talked in the last podcast about people giving you ideas and suggestions about what you should buy. I mean, that is just a huge influence these days.
So I wonder if overall then we actually spend more. Although we are savvier, we're a bit smarter about how we buy the stuff that we need to buy, but then our overall spend is actually increased because we're shopping at more locations on more occasions and being tempted by this clever tool. But we're being tempted by these clever marketing tools to get us to upscale.
And Christine, it's interesting what you mentioned about that service, that added service that particular retailer is offering. Mm. And I wonder whether that means that loyalty is now dead, or the loyalty card is now dead.
Yeah.
We're no longer interested in that 1% off or those vouchers that we're going to get through our loyalty card. It's back to service, which is where, of course, the hypermarkets first came in by offering better ranges, more premium products.
Well, all I know is I can't shut my wallet any longer because I've got so many loyalty cards that never make it out of there, never see the light of day.
But then people are maybe becoming more loyal to the discounters, which is another interesting phenomenon, because the discounters do such a good job that you have a feel-good factor after you've shopped there, that's an element of the loyalty to want to go back again because you want to repeat the experience.
I remember reading recently that they were saying that there was quite a move that people went to the discounters first, bought what they could get in the discounters, and then what they couldn't get or what they weren't prepared to compromise on, they would then go to their normal shop and shop that stuff there. And it would be really interesting to see how much that has grown as a percentage, because I guess as we've got maybe more used to seeing those funny continental brands on people's tables and things, you know, or some categories that were previously verboten in a discounter now are actually much, much more accessible. And is the percentage of spend that the discounters are getting of your total spend just growing exponentially?
I think it's perhaps been a bit of an inverted snobbery as well with the discounters, in that those brands were unknown previously, and now to have them on your table,
you've discovered them.
It's something aspirational to be seen with.
And that also is probably escalated or advanced by the fact that we don't have carrier bags handed out to us at every store we go to now. So if you shop in an Aldi and a Lidl, you don't have to come out with a bag plastered with the announcement you've just been to Aldi or Lidl. You can still put it in your very smart, sort of used forever shopping bag or something you've picked
up.
Or
your Waitrose bag, of course.
Yes.
You can just pop it in your Waitrose bag and no one's any the wiser. Only you know you've been quite smart.
Although I think for a while, actually, having a Lidl or Aldi carrier bag was actually a bit of a badge of honour, because it sort of implied that I was savvy. I was,
being a bit
more discerning, being careful with my money.
With customers becoming so much smarter when shopping, is there a danger that in trying to spend less time shopping, we're actually shopping a whole lot more?
Well, not quite answering the question, but actually a job I did a couple of weeks ago was I decided to go and do some store checks. And whilst you were doing that, shopped all the gondola ends looking for the deals. And to save me money going around the big four, the time it took was huge. So I think there's something which isn't probably not quite the question that you're asking, Nikki, but sort of the answer is a discounter in theory gives you the opportunity to get most stuff you think at a reasonable price, whereas actually to do the same job took much longer if I went around the big four.
But isn't that part of the problem we've got going forward, is that because people are so time poor, we haven't got the opportunity to go and shop in all of these different places. So to your point, Christine, we shop once and then we go and top up somewhere else. And we're just doing that a lot more regularly because we're busier.
I think it'd be interesting to understand a bit more about how online has changed our habits, because online, of course, takes away or reduces the level of impulse purchase that you're prone to. So when you're in a store, of course, you see a lot of nice fresh things, a lot of impulsive things, a lot of treat things, a lot of offers, and you will be tempted to put more in your basket. And we don't walk in with £20 anymore. We walk in with a credit card, and it doesn't really matter what we spend at the till. So there's no upper limit to what we might spend in the store. But when you're online, particularly if you've got a saved shopping list that you just replicate each week, it's much more difficult for that website to persuade you to add more into the basket. So I wonder whether impulse purchasing has reduced.
I think that's why they've set up their more sort of tease campaigns, haven't they? If you've bought this, try this, to try and get you to upscale your purchases.
I shop regularly online with not one of the big four, but most certainly one of the major grocers. And actually getting from the point at which I say I want to go to checkout to actually finish is an awfully long time. By the time they tell me about all the offers that I haven't bought enough of, all the things, if you like this, then you'd like that, you know, and it just... I find that quite frustrating, because for me the timeliness of online shopping is sort of then seeps away, because I spend just so long doing what is the last 2% of the task. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting that Aldi is now moving or teetering into the online arena with its wine offer, which I understand is launching quite soon. I wonder whether they will put their groceries online or more of their estate online. And I think it might be a bad move for them, yes. Because of course people walk into Aldi to buy a basket of products and maybe walk out with a trolley, yeah. And very often attracted by the sort of the Thursday offers, the Thursday leaflet offers,
particularly the fishing rods and the yes. tents and things yes. like that.
Yes.
But also I think if you were going to think about Aldi or the discounters going online, the cost issues that you've got associated with an additional business would then suddenly put them not in the completely cheapest position they could be in terms of offering what they're good at. So then prices would creep up and the issues that we've got with the big retailers would start to attack the discounters. So it's probably safer if they don't.
I mean, it's interesting looking at other countries other than the UK and seeing actually how they've adapted and or how they're shifting. Obviously, things like click and collect is much bigger in France than it is here, although arguably the JS looking at Argus, maybe that's partially the reason that they're looking at that. But most certainly there is stuff going on, depending upon the penetration of broadband in different countries. You know, online per se is either really important or not.
It feels in terms of store outlets that we might be at our peak now, in terms of number of outlets and number of choices that the shopper has. We're hearing about large supermarket close downs now and shutdowns and of course plots that were purchased and not being developed now. So I wonder whether, you know, we're about to hit a period of consolidation, a period of major store closures, you know, a more significant shift away from the big sheds towards the smaller discounters and smaller format stores. And actually, in 20 years' time, rather than having three or four stores to choose from in a town, maybe there'll only be two. And perhaps that will then, again, once again, take us full circle to reducing that choice.
And also, as the technology gets more attractive and speedier, you'll be able to click and collect at shorter timescales. So that will then fuel the fact that people don't go into shops as much because it becomes more efficient. So again, that fuels the fact that we don't need as many shops.
Can you spot a generational change between shoppers?
I think we all grew up with the one-stop out-of-town shop was sort of, well, when I was growing up, it was sort of once every 3 or 4 weeks, you'd go and have two trolleys around a massive hypermarket and head home and mum would just top up. But I think as we've all grown up, it might have been one trolley every week and on a weekly shop. And now the younger generation are shopping daily for each meal. They can't think further than what they might be doing tomorrow or tonight. So they just shop for tonight and then they wake up the next morning and think, where will I be tonight? Oh, I'll be here, so I'll shop again. So it's just about immediate consumption, and that's fueled by the fact that in so many places around the UK you are just faced with shopping and food the whole time, so you can change your mind at any point and get on with it, whereas to the older generations that option was never available and you shopped much less frequently and it was very structured and very ordered.
And I think 20 or 30 years ago, you know, with a much lower choice in stores, it was quite an investment to go shopping. It was and you used to have to queue. You used to have to queue for 10 or 15 minutes to get through the till. So it was a major family event to go shopping. And you made sure that it was worthwhile when you were there.
And I think also what's helped, and I remember reading some facts a little while ago, was actually this recession that we've been through or still are in. You know, people don't want to lay out a big basket shop because it feels like they've spent a lot of money. What feels much more comfortable is just buying at smaller shops because I then haven't spent a large amount. The fact that they've probably net spent more in a week than they would have done if they'd just gone and done one big shop isn't the point. The point is it just felt like they were having to spend a little bit each time.
I think one of the other factors we haven't spoken about so far is food waste, which is you know a real hot topic at the moment, whether it's fresh food or even just product that never gets consumed, just ends up in the back of the cupboard. You know, the multi-buyer, the 1980s and the 1990s encouraged us to buy huge volumes of things, and often for fresh fruit and vegetables that went to waste. And I think now that there's so much pressure and so much awareness of food waste, I think we're saying, no, I'm not going to be seduced by that offer. I'm just going to buy a single item or a small basket.
But that's how the shopping habit started in Japan and Tokyo, because each house was so small it only had the tiniest fridge, and so they could only ever go shopping every day because they could only get one day's worth of food in the fridge. So we're not quite at that point here, but just the immediacy of what they're buying for immediate consumption is just so different to when we were growing up.
And I guess food to go is much more prevalent as well now. So it's the choice that young people are making is not necessarily between what is in a local store versus what's in their cupboard. They've got a multitude of takeaway options as well. So there's more competition for their stomach.
And do you think the habits of today's 20-somethings are ingrained, or will they change as they get older?
I think the only thing that might change it will be their family situation, which is, you know, once they marry, they have children, obviously that forces a greater level of rigour and structure in what they are purchasing. But I think the days of, you know, big, huge bulk purchase in an out-of-town store, I think that's gone.
I think it's fair to say that people do tend to take their habits with them as they grow older. The habits that they've grown up with when they're students, when they're young people, they tend to hold on to and hold dear. And become very sort of staunchly loyal to those habits.
That's it from this particular Big River Solutions podcast. Don't forget to visit bigriversolutions.com, where you'll find plenty more interesting and useful stuff. My thanks to Christine Edwards, Neil Hutton, and Rebecca Ross. This has been a TDC production. I'm Nikki Lloyd-Williams. Join us next time.